I want you to take your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you have, and I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38, and I want to call your attention to verses 1 through 5 in Isaiah chapter 38. Notice what the Bible says in verse 1. It says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for you're going to die and not live." What happened? I'll tell you what happened. God sent Isaiah down to tell Hezekiah, "You're sick, but you're going to die. You're not going to make it. You better put one of your sons in order, get your finances in order, get your hierarchy in order. You're going to die." The Bible says in verse 2, "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord." Now, what could you say, folks? What could I say if this was us? "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, with a committed heart. And I've done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Get that. "Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go now and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I've heard thy prayer." I've seen thy tears. He prayed for 15 more years. Every point in my life, I'm praying. I'm saying, "God, give me 15 more years. And when that comes around, I want an option to renew." Amen? "I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. I want to talk to you about the Bible and tears. The Bible and tears. I heard about a gentleman whose mother-in-law passed away. And he was standing at the casket and he was crying. He was emotionally very disturbed. And he stood there for a little while, and finally his wife walked up to him. And she said, "You're the biggest hypocrite on the planet." She said, "You despised my mother. You despise my mother, and here you stand at the casket, and you're crying and weeping. What a hypocrite." But she said, "I just want to tell you something. My mother also despised you. My mother begged me not to marry you. And my mother, throughout all of our marriage, she never cared for you. So why would you stand here at her casket and cry uncontrollably?" And that guy said, "I thought I seen her move." The Bible and tears. Now, you know, I read this story, ladies and gentlemen, where basically Hezekiah was very sick and God sends Isaiah down there, and basically Isaiah says to him, "You're going to die." Somebody said, "You can't change God's mind." I don't know. You might want to read this story again. So Hezekiah is very sick, and Isaiah says, basically, "You're going to die." And the Bible says that he wept sore. And then the Lord said something. He said, "I have heard your prayers, but also I saw your tears." And that just jumped out at me in a contextual form, that God not only heard the prayers, but God sees the tears. So I started researching, and tears or crying is mentioned over 500 times in the Word of God. The average man in America cries one time a month. The average woman in America cries 5 times a month. But crying apparently is a part of life. Now somebody said, "Pastor, real men don't cry." Well, I don't know about that. There's a 5-star general that disagrees with you.
the old picture of generals. Generals don't cry. Generals don't get tears in their eyes.
Sure they do.
They just didn't admit it?
Oh, I think they admitted it. Grant, after Shiloh, went back and cried. Sherman went back and cried. I mean, these are the tough old guys. Lee cried at the loss of human life, at the pressures that were brought to bear. Lincoln cried. Frankly, any man that doesn't cry scares me a little bit. I don't think I would like a man who was incapable of enough emotion to get tears in his eyes every now and then. That type of person scares me. That's not a human being.
Well, General Storman Norman Schwarzkopf said it's okay to cry, but there's somebody else said it's okay to express emotion, and his name was Jesus. And folks, I want us to look at the tears of the Savior. I want us to look at the tears of Jesus. I studied the Bible, and I found out there's three times recorded in the Bible where Jesus Christ cried. Three times where he cried. And first of all, I want you to understand, he cries because of pain. And what I mean by that, in John chapter 11, you know, somebody said, Brother Benny, you treat everybody the same. No. You, in leadership, you don't treat everybody the same. You treat everybody fair. You treat everybody fair. Jesus spent more time with some people than he spent with other people if you study the Word of God. You treat everybody fair. And when he was in Bethany, he had three friends that was very close to him, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Lazarus got real sick and eventually died. And I want you to see something. The Bible says in John chapter 11, verse 32, it says, then when Mary was come, and by the way, folks, to me, if you study the Bible, Mary was the closest lady to the Lord in the Bible. By the way, talking about three, she's only mentioned three times in the Bible. And every time she's mentioned in the Bible, she's at the feet of Jesus. Study it. Every time Mary of Bethany is mentioned in the Bible, she's at the feet of Jesus. Now, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You know what they wanted, ladies and gentlemen? They wanted a healing. They wanted a healing. But let me tell you something. Jesus wanted a resurrection. And let me tell you, when you don't get what you want, many times it's because the Lord's got something better in mind. Amen? See, if he hadn't walked out, somebody else couldn't have walked in. Amen? If you hadn't lost that job, you couldn't have got that new job. If you hadn't gotten away from that old church, you couldn't have made your way to this church. God just got something better in mind. Now, notice what it says. It says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. I researched that word troubled. It literally means to shake with emotion. He shook with emotion. Now look what the Bible says. And said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. This is all I want you to know, folks. When you're going through hardship, when you're going through pain, the Lord cares. When you're going through difficulties, the Lord cares. The Lord saw the hurt that those sisters had, and he wept with them. And I just want you to know, you say, Pastor Benny, I'm walking through a very painful situation. I just want you to know the Lord cares. You say, but I've been abandoned, Brother Benny. Brother Benny, I'm very sick. I'm very sick. Is it because I've sinned? You're not sick because you've sinned. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil. You say, well, Pastor Benny, I'm just having a real hard time. All I want to say to you is the Lord cares. See, I don't understand everything about the Bible, folks. I'm kind of like Mark Twain. Somebody said to Mark Twain, the parts of the Bible I don't understand really bothers me. It's the parts of the Bible that I do understand that bothers me. Amen? I'm having a struggle with the parts I do understand. But I don't know that I totally understand this verse. But Psalms 56 and 8 says this. It says that when we cry, God bottles up our tears. So he's concerned about the pain in your life. He's concerned about the struggle in your life. You say, I'm walking through a divorce. Does anybody care? Jesus cares. I've been diagnosed with cancer. Does anybody care? Jesus cares. Brother Benny, I've been abandoned by my friends. I've been betrayed by my friends. Does anybody care? Jesus cares. I'll tell you, nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. There's never been a friend like the Lord's always been. So God weeps over our pain. But let me tell you something, folks. God weeps over our priorities. If you study Luke chapter 19, it says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city, he wept over it. He looked over Jerusalem, and literally they were caught up in so many things. He wept over it. They were caught up over the antiquity of the temple, that magnificence of the temple. And the Bible says Jesus wept, and if you read that chapter on out, he said, you're enamored by something that's going to be destroyed. In 30-some-odd years, it's going to be destroyed. You have your priorities in the wrong place. Now, folks, Paul wrote a personal letter to Timothy. About 1,950 years ago. And he was talking about the people's priorities. 2,000 years ago. But I read this week, and I said, that was written 2,000 years ago. That's our priorities today. Look what the Bible says. Now keep in mind, folks, 2,000 years ago, Paul penned this to his son in the Lord, Timothy. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves. How quick can I get that posted? I'm aiming for hearts. All right. For people will love only themselves and their money. 2,000 years ago. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful, humbly, grumbly, hateful when we should be humbly grateful. They will consider nothing sacred, not life, not marriage, nothing is sacred anymore. Good preaching, Benny! Backbones like noodles. They will be unloving, unforgiving. They'll slander others. No self-control. 2,000 years ago. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. Jesus wept. Ladies and gentlemen, he wept over their pain. He wept over their priorities. But there was a third time he cried. He wept over his passion for us. If you look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. See, Jesus was 100% man, and he was 100% God. And he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, where I've been with many of you many times. And he knelt down and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And tears flowed from his eyes. Because what he saw, ladies and gentlemen, he saw him being spit on. He saw them plucking his beard. He saw them scourging his back. He saw them ramming a spear into his side. He saw them placing him on a cross. He saw him hanging. He saw the pain that he would have to go through. And he said, Father, can't there be another way? He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And he looked into that cup, and he saw everything he'd have to go through on the cross. But then he took a deeper look into the cup, and he saw you, and he saw me, and he saw there was no hope for us. And he said, if I don't go to the cross, there's no hope for mankind. So he said, God, my Father, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm willing to go because I love them. I see the tears of the Savior, but there's something else I see. I see the tears of the saint. See, I think Christians ought to express tears. And when I say tears, not that you have to literally cry, but I believe there ought to be some gratefulness and some feeling of emotion and some feeling of expression. I believe there ought to be tears over salvation. I can never, this morning, coming to church, I did what I've been doing for 29 years. I called the man that led me to the Lord as I was driving to church. And I said, Clayton, thank you. Thank you that you didn't give up on our family. Thank you that we were the family that were from the wrong side of the tracks. See, folks, I can't get over being saved. I can't get over being saved. Apparently, there was a lady in the Bible who couldn't get over it in Luke chapter 7. Look what it says. It says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now, this is all I'm going to move on. But who did Jesus hang out with? Sinners. You know who he was interested? He was interested in those lounge lizards at the Crystal Pistol. Yeah, he was interested in Bubba, beer drinker that was lost. Amen? That's who Jesus, that's who we ought to be interested in, folks. Look what, and behold a woman in the city which was a sinner. If you really get the correct word, it's prostitute. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box full of ointment and stood at his feet, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. He said, they were saying, it's ceremonial, unclean for him to touch her. Jesus answered and said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He said, Master, go ahead. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence, which was 20 months of wages, and the other 50, which was 2 months of wages. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. But then verse 47 says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. By the way, folks, I had quite a few myself. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved him much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. See, folks, we ought to weep over our salvation, but I believe we ought to weep over strong fellowship. If you study Acts 20, verses 36 and verse 37, when Paul left the church at Ephesus, they fell on Paul's neck. They were crying. and they kissed him. See, I believe a church ought to love one another, and we ought to rejoice together, but we ought to weep together. When somebody's down, that's when they need us most. You always remember, when you put people down, you go down too. But wait, when you lift people up, you lift up too. You stand taller when you lift people up. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We're all going to have struggles. A neighbor notices that the blonde across her house was crying so. So she goes over and asks her, what's happened? The blonde said, my mother passed away. The neighbor made some coffee and settled her down a little bit and left. The next day, the neighbor went back over to the house and found the blonde crying again. She asked her why she was crying. The blonde replied, I just got off the phone with my sister. Her mother died too. Some of you are slow, but you're worth waiting for. This is all I'm saying, folks. We're going to have some struggles. We're going to have some difficulties, but we need to help one another up. That person that's walking through a divorce, that person that's walking through a difficulty, that person that's walking through a trial, we don't need to put them down. We need to lift them up. We need to help them. Let me give you the third reason why I believe Christians ought to cry, and that's sinners that are unsaved. Sinners that are unsaved. This is what the Bible says in Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now, what's the context? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I see the tears of the Savior. I see the tears of the saint. But I want to give you the last point. That's the tears of the sinner. I was in bed last night, and I was struggling to go to sleep. And I told the Lord, I said, God, if I can't preach the last point with a broken heart, don't let me preach it. Somebody said, Pastor, I don't want to be one of these mean preachers. I don't either. But I think we've almost become so consumed with being a mean preacher, and we don't want to be a mean preacher, that we've almost become a meaningless preacher. And if you're not careful in trying to not be a mean preacher, you can become a meaningless preacher. I studied, Jesus had a 3-year ministry. He preached on hell 33 times. Think about that. 3 years, 33 times. That means if Jesus was your pastor once a month, he was preaching on hell. If Jesus had been your pastor once a month, he was going to give you hell. Now, the Bible says in Luke, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. Now wait. So people that go to hell can see people in heaven? That's what the Bible says. And Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in the flame. But Abraham, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things and Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted and thou art tormented. I just want to say four quick things about the story and I'm done. First of all, his possessions weren't relevant. His possessions weren't relevant. I counted dollars while God counted crosses. I counted gains while he counted losses. I counted my worth by those things gained in store. He sized me up by the scars that I bore. I counted the honors, I sought the degrees, but he counted the hours I spent on my knees. And I never knew until one day by a grave how vain are the things we spend our lives to save. Too busy to read the Bible, too busy to wait and pray, too busy to speak out kindly to someone by the way, too busy to care and struggle to think of life to come, too busy building mansions to plan for the heavenly home, too busy to help a brother who faces the winter blast, too busy to share his burden when self in the balance is cast, too busy for all that is holy on earth beneath the sky, too busy to serve the master, but not a one of us too busy to die. I want you to know something. He didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he was lost. But I want you to see something. Once he got to hell, and I know the camera can't follow me all the way. Once he got to hell, he'd given $1 million for that. He'd given $1 million for that. He'd given $1 billion to be able to do that. Think about it. There was a Lazarus who had sores all over his bodies. And the dogs came and licked those sores. And those sores became infected. And he'd take that hand and he'd scratch those sores. And that rich man said, I could care less. I don't care where those hands have been. I don't care where they've been, where the dogs have licked. Take that finger. Touch my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. I'd give $1 million for an ounce of water. I'm tormented in this flame. His possessions weren't relevant. If we're not awful careful, ladies and gentlemen, we're majoring on the minor. We're giving our children so many things that we didn't have. We're not giving them what we did have. His possessions weren't relevant. It really didn't matter. His pains were real. He said, I'm tormented in this pain. I'm tormented. His past was remembered. That rich man in hell, he remembered. Somebody said, well, if you just go to hell, you're burned up. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he remembered. You said, but Brother Benny, I don't hear this kind of preaching. It's in the book. I remember. You said, well, Brother Benny, if I go to hell, I'll remember you preaching. Yes. You remember mom and daddy saying, get saved. You remember. You say, Brother Ben, you're just trying to scare me. I'm not trying to scare anybody to the best of my ability. Let me tell you something. I love all of you. But one day, I'm going to stand before God. And he's called me to preach the entire Bible. I've got to do it. And let me tell you lastly. His people were regarded. He said, Father Abraham, do me a favor. Send Lazarus. I've got 5 brothers, and I don't want them to come to this place. I don't want them to come to this place. Now, I'm done. But let me say something in a positive note. God did not prepare hell for any man or woman. God did not prepare hell for any man or woman. You said, Brother Benny, how can you say that? Look what Matthew 25 and 41 says. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. He prepared it a certain size for the devil and his angels. Is it true, Brother Benny, that hell has gotten larger? Uh-huh. According to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14. It's enlarged itself because men and women choose to say no to Jesus. Here's the good news. God didn't prepare hell for you. He didn't. But He did prepare heaven for you. Because in John chapter 14, He said, I want to go prepare a place for you. I want to go and prepare a place for you. Let me tell you something, folks. I woke up and I was 53 years old. It's gone so fast. But I want you to know something. Eternity's too long to be wrong. I don't want to make a Congregational Methodist out of you. I don't want to make a Rock Springian out of you. But I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know Jesus Christ. Today wasn't a popular message. Nobody's going to pat me on the back and tell me how wonderful it is. Wasn't easy. But it's the truth. And when you please God, it doesn't matter who you don't please. But if you don't please God, it doesn't matter who you do please. A.W. Tozer said, if you please God, you'll find you're in trouble with men. I found that to be true.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me. If you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin. And I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.